You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, September 24th, 2024. Exactly 6 weeks until Election Day. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast or through our social media video feeds of this radio show. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Are you tired of being badgered about voting? Too bad. 6 weeks from now, but voting has already begun. I told you yesterday how I'd received my absentee ballot. It's sitting somewhere way over there on the kitchen table, or I would be using it as a visual aid for our social media viewers again. But since this is theater of the radio, Greg Bach, so let me just prepare my fake ballot here. So I got my fake ballot here in the mail. No, it's on thicker paper.
Hey, Pat,
that. It's
I would
not
really
working at all. I'm terrible at radio theater.
Pat, I would really, really, really warn against saying my fake ballot here on the radio because you know, I don't know. Maybe some people would be
that's
like,
a good
"I
point.
Told you,
I knew it, I knew it." Okay, another vote for John F. Kennedy from Chicago residents.
Pat Paulson. Yeah. There we go.
Wow.
That is a reference that I know your audience will understand.
We are skewing old this morning. the absentee ballot is over on the kitchen table. And yes, you should be thinking about doing your own. I did not realize till yesterday, I didn't look up the date, but the date is October 22nd. When you can start early voting in person at your local clerk's office. There used to be a bigger window than that. Like in Minnesota, you can vote in person absentee at your local clerk's office now, but a couple of years back, Republicans closed the window very narrowly. So it's only a 2-week window. So around October 22nd, you could do early in-person absentee voting. But you can go to myvote.wi.gov right now and get an absentee ballot sent to you, as was sent to me. Fill it out in front of a witness, have the witness sign the envelope, fill it out properly, get it back in, and you're done. You're voted. 6 weeks, Greg. Six little weeks. 42 little days to go.
42 is the answer to everything. People also might understand that reference too, but I'm not sure. I'm still waiting for mine. Still waiting for my ballot to come in the mail. I actually looked yesterday and took the trash out like a young kid looking for his decoder ring. I was like, is it here? No,
not. Alicia Saunders writes in, nope, never tired of hearing voting reminders. Voting is one of the ways we make our voices heard.
Heck yeah.
Amen to that. Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Alicia. Coming up on the program today, it's Tuesday, so we get a little dose of our colleagues here at Up North News. That would include our social media manager, Sharita Booker, talking about some of the more popular posts of the past week. And Christina Laurie, who writes our newsletter and is looking back fondly at what a pleasant surprise the Milwaukee Brewers 2024 season has become. In our second hour, we will get a return visit from Julie Lassa, State Director for USDA Rural Development, to learn more about the investments the Biden-Harris administration is making for the rural Wisconsin economy. We had her on 2 weeks ago, if memory serves, and we had some technical glitches and things, and so we thought we'd invite her back on to give us more details about rural development across Wisconsin that is being supported by the USDA. Chad Holmes will have a preview of his show in Wausau that follows this one on Civic Media. And in a couple of minutes here, we're going to talk about no more Springfields. We don't want a Springfield here in Wisconsin. And by that, I don't mean anti-immigrant. I mean anti-immigrant hatred. Donald Trump is coming to Wisconsin this weekend, and he's hoping to turn Prairie du Chien into the next Springfield, where he hopes that his demonization of immigrants will trigger another wave of race-based support. And it's time to stand up to that and say no. Along the way, if you'd like to join the show, do so. Call us. Text us. 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-752-4842. You can follow us on the Up North News Facebook page or the Up North News YouTube page as well. Bus stop weather at 6 a.m. across Wisconsin looks like this. Lake Wissota, 46 right here in Chippewa. Hayward at 44. Park Falls reporting 44 degrees right now. Wausau's at 51, has some fog. Green Bay, 52. La Crosse, 51. Wisconsin Rapids reporting fog in 51. Oshkosh, 54. Madison, 55. And Waukesha is at 59 degrees right now. Gosh, almost pushing 60, and we're over here trying to stay out of the 30s again, Greg. But the season's changing whether we like it or not. I think I had one of those days where it was maybe the second to the last time that I'm mowing the lawn. And now it takes twice as long, because instead of like going back and forth and back and forth, we just, because we have a mulching mower,
yeah,
I want all the leaves off to the side. So you got to do a strip and then come back and then do the next strip. And little by little, the leaves are getting, you know, chewed up and pushed back toward the edge of the yard to make it easier to dispose of them. But it means yeah, you're making more runs back and forth, and I'm kind of feeling like I'm playing Mario Kart in there. But my little John Deere can handle it. It's nice. Joys of home ownership, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I got one more, maybe two more mows in the yard, and then I got to do some major surgery in the back and the front yard and make it look
major
really
surgery.
There's just it's overgrown stuff and stuff I never wanted in the first place, and mm-hmm. I got to make my way for next spring so to make sure it doesn't happen again. But
well, if you recall last year how much I raved that I finally attacked the overgrowth underneath a couple of evergreens,
yep.
Got that all cleared away. I literally spent all summer, Sherry and I both did, all summer in the evening, we might be having a little beverage out on the deck, looking, going, gosh, I'm glad we finally took care of that.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm glad we finally took care of that. I feel like we've said that 100 times this summer. So yes, you'll do it. You'll love it. You won't regret it and say, good, finally had to just tackle it and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where we are. I know.
And then TV's see. On. I'm like, I'll do it later.
You know, Sherry's been away visiting one of her daughters, and I have not watched nearly as much TV, but I also have spent way too much time at this desk. I need to go for a walk more often. So I did find though, and again, don't make too much fun of me. I'm always the last to discover like a show or something. I'll see something and go, oh yeah, I've always been meaning to watch that. Are you familiar with Letterkenny?
Oh God, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
To be fair. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
To be fair.
Again, I get that reaction all the time. Like, where have you been? I mean, I was late to, you know, Ted Lasso and other shows whose name you don't like me to say on the radio. But I eventually get to these shows. And Letterkenny is I would call it very Napoleon Dynamite-esque, in that when you look at it for the first few seconds, you might kind of tilt your head and go,
yeah.
And then you kind of keep watching and going, oh, this is really growing on me.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it's going to be Sherry's cup of tea when she gets home later today, but I may have to sneak in a few episodes of that now and then. It's very good.
I did not think it was going to be Bridget's cup of tea. In fact, she may have introduced it to me. I don't even remember, but we would knock out an entire season in a sitting, because the episodes are rather short. I think
they're like 20
minutes or less. And you can watch a whole season in a sitting. It doesn't take very long. And it's just super, super fun. And welcome to the party, pal. And there's a spinoff called Shorzy. So, yeah.
Okay.
It's the same idea. Same sense of humor. Same rapid-fire jokes. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I get it. It's not for everyone. It can be a little rude at times. And the jokes and the delivery can be like, all right, can we move on with a plot here? But you're like, nah, just keep going.
I know. Tony writes in on YouTube from Ashland, I've been sent Letterkenny by an old college roommate who demanded I watch it because he thought I'd relate. Ha ha. Well, ha ha, Tony. Yes, you should watch it.
You should watch it, Tony.
Yeah. Although his buddy said largely due to the flannel.
Oh.
Yeah. There is. Well, it's a Canadian show.
Yeah.
So I think that's not actually flannel they're wearing. That's tattooed on them as an infant. They just always look like they're wearing flannel. This is really how it works up in Canada.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. In the daily newsletter that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, there is a story that Christina has put in on arguably the best spot to look at fall colors in Wisconsin. Think of a 60-foot tower built on a bluff to put you more than 250 feet above the canopy and be able to see all the fall colors ahead of you. And you can read much more about Peninsula State Park in today's newsletter. Also, weird election laws, and some of them are just weird, you know, the way that outdated laws are, and some will probably make you a little angry, like in Texas, how Republicans have set it up that you can't vote with a student ID, but you can vote with your gun license. So read some of those oddball stories that are in there in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com is how you sign up for it. Also on our website right now is an article about 11 Wisconsin employers with life-changing job opportunities for workers who have intellectual and developmental disabilities. And along with telling you about the employers who are hiring them, details on the programs that are helping prepare potential employees, which is important for a sense of independence, but frankly, from an economic standpoint, also good from the sense of the labor shortage. So again, look for that on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Let's see, I mentioned absentee ballots. I mentioned October 22nd is when you can begin in-person balloting. I wanted to, and I'm usually I'd hit sports at this point, but the Brewers were idle yesterday. They're starting their final road trip of the regular season, and they head to Pittsburgh tonight. First pitch is at 5:40. But Greg, I also noticed that a little snippet in the news. I thought all the Kmarts were gone. There was one final full-scale store in New York State on Long Island, and it has closed. So now Kmart is officially gone.
Well, I mean, is there still that one Blockbuster?
I think there is, yeah. Okay. And there's like these little Kmarts that are in, like, I think Florida, they said, and a couple of other countries. Yeah. But in terms of the department stores that we're used to, Kmart has finally succumbed.
Turned off that blue light special?
Turned off that blue light for good. I remember so many times being in Kmart, because in Chippewa Falls, that was kind of like the thing that you had here.
Yeah.
And they'd have a blue light special, and I'd see the blinking blue light, and I'd look over scans, and I go, I don't want that, but thanks. I guess that's how a flash sale works. Hey, you want this? We got to discount it somehow. We'll talk about Trump coming to Wisconsin next. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
So many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side.
Coming up in today's history lesson, the late great Jim Henson. Christina Laurie's coming up in about 15 minutes, and later Julie Lassa from USDA Rural Development on the major investments being made in a new generation of jobs for rural Wisconsin. It's time now to visit with Sherita Booker, social media manager here at Up North News. Sherita, hello, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thanks. I don't envy your job, not just for everything you have to do every week to get all the many stories posted during a busy election season, but also, you know, all of finding room for all of the various features that we do throughout the course of any given day that get us off of the, you know, all work and no play, all politics and no features beat. Unfortunately, one of those features recently that was really popular on social media was a bittersweet one about the passing of everybody's favorite ballpark pup, which, I mean, I know it happens, so we have to be happy with the memories that young Hank gave us when he was a young little pup. Tell us more.
Yep, so the Milwaukee Brewers ballpark pup Hank recently passed away, and he was named after Hank Aaron and was rescued by the team in 2014 when he wandered into their spring training facility. And after thousands of requests to adopt him by fans, the team vice president, Marty Ronski, adopted him. And Hank became a frequent attendee at games, and the rest is history. And Naomi said in the comments, "I absolutely loved his story. I bought the Hank K9 shirt and stuffed Hank pup as gifts for myself for my birthday in 2014. RIP Hank." And Debbie said, "I saw this little guy race and have his bobblehead. He was a cutie."
He was adorable. And again, just grabbed everybody's hearts, being this stray who'd been injured and, just went on to be such a great little mascot for that 2014 season. And yeah, we'll miss him a lot, but be very thankful for the memories as well. And we'll keep all that in mind as the Brewers start to cruise toward the postseason. Obviously, when we look at our more popular posts of the week, we don't always mean popular positive. We mean they draw a lot of comments, a lot of engagement, likes, and not only likes. Some people click on the little like symbol. Some click on the little angry face symbol. Some people just want to put a little line or two, and other people want to pick a fight. Whatever it is, one of the more popular posts was about the presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump and where we go from here. Tell us about the post that got all the traffic.
Yep. So Donald Trump said he will not debate Kamala Harris again after claiming polls showed him winning, although polls actually showed that he lost that debate. And Jerry said, "No need to embarrass himself any more than he already has." Cindy said, "The felon is afraid of the prosecutor." And Brian said, "Well, he already debated two different Democrat candidates this year," which he did, but I wouldn't be mad at another debate with Kamala.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, people who want to put up, their own thoughts on this, that's fine. But we also have people who just want to put up very political, gifts and memes and things. Yeah. And, some of them get old real fast, folks. Just tell us what you think, and then we'll move on from there as you comment on the news. Now, if there's one thing I think that most of us can agree on is in the realm of food, sweet food, pastries, and we're not just talking, donuts and Danish here in Wisconsin. We're talking about the Kringle, and there was a recent milestone that attracted a lot of attention on one of the posts you put up there, Sharita.
Yep, the world-famous Kringle Bakery O&H recently celebrated its 75th birthday by bringing back four retired flavors. And those flavors include apricot sugar, pineapple pecan, custard poppy seed, and cherry almond macaroon. They all sound delicious. Those flavors will be available until September 29th at their bakeries located in Racine, Oak Creek, and Sturtevant. Gary said, "I love the new place, but so many memories at the old one when Ray would take me back and always gave me samples. Everyone was so kind. The entire family are so wonderful." And Ken said, "I've been an O&H fan since 1975. Now we mail them to friends at holidays."
I do have the catalog. I get the catalog every, because again, all you got to do is order them one time. And I don't just mean O&H. I mean like anything nowadays. You as soon as you order something online, a pair of pants, suddenly you're getting catalogs, every 6 weeks forever. But they're nice little reminders of the gifts that you can give and have sent out. O&H and all. We have so many good Kringle options here in Wisconsin, and it's nice to see one mark 75 years in business. Do you enjoy a good Kringle now and then? Do you even have Kringles?
I have them every now and then. I really don't care for sweets these days anymore, but I do like a nice apple Kringle here and there.
For me, it's cherry. I love a cherry Kringle. But the problem is portion size, because if you're getting, say a box of donuts, you're going to have a donut, but a Kringle is big. And so you cut a piece off for yourself. Well, maybe I'll cut another little piece off and maybe I'll cut another little piece off. And it's not like, if you're having brownies, okay, you're going to stop before you eat an entire row of brownies. It's right there. You can see it's like, you don't want the shame of, "Oh my gosh, I just ate an entire row of brownies." But A Kringle isn't like that. It's like, oh, I'll cut off a little bit more. That's okay. Suddenly it goes from an O, you know, to a C to an I because you've nibbled on. So is this just me? Is it just me?
No, not just you. It's like begging to be ate.
It is. You're like, oh, I don't want to leave it just sit there. And again, there's good reason for that. They are that good. And obviously, it's why it attracted a lot of attention to these posts and all the others that Sharita puts up over at Up North News on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Sharita, whatever I'm calling you this week, have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too, bye.
All right. I can't help but notice that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, their travel itinerary appears to be centered on one factor. What might that be? Let's see. Trump is coming to Prairie du Chien Saturday, where not long ago a Venezuelan migrant was arrested for domestic abuse. Let's see. J.D. Vance was in Eau Claire recently, where there's been controversy about the refugee population. Trump was in Howell, Michigan that day, which has been a Ku Klux Klan stronghold. And of course, they've talked nonstop about Springfield, Ohio, and the legal Haitian immigrants who are there. A fair question raised by Scott Ross on social media. As a Journal Sentinel subscriber, I want to know why there are no Dems in the story with claims about migrants, about Trump and Derek Van Orden and Eric Hovde. Were Dems called and refused, or were none called? Because, again, there's a trend line that I think needs to be talked about more often. Christina Lorre's next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Okay, welcome back. It's time for the Uplift on this Tuesday. We've been calling it that because oftentimes we're talking about uplifting stories that you find in our daily newsletter that Christina Lorre puts together. Sometimes they're stories that have been done recently, and sometimes we just like to go on and on about the uplifting stories about a particular topic. And how can you not do that about your National League Central Division champion, Milwaukee Brewers? Christina Lorre, how are you?
It's hard not to be great after the week we just witnessed.
It's been good. And again, such a season. People did not see that. Craig Counsell leaves for the Cubs. We're thinking, okay, that's where all the magic is going to go, where all the luck is going to go. We've got injuries, players leaving, and instead we get this, which is extremely cool. Brewers again, coming off an off day, opening up a series in Pittsburgh tonight, final six games of the season. And honestly, I don't know how you're going to pick any single highlight, because there have been so many good things that have happened. But I think if I'm trying to go way into the future, people are going to look back at this rookie season of Jackson Churio and say that was much more of a difference maker than maybe we thought at the start of the year.
It has so many parallels to Robin Yount's season, exactly 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's crazy the parallels that it happens on that exact milestone. He was also the youngest guy on the team. And, he was the last 20-year-old that really, really had a breakout season, which is so funny because I read this article, Pat, about what the Brewers are going to do. Like, this is probably the best postseason problem you could possibly have if you're Milwaukee, but there's hopefully going to be a lot of champagne and beer showers involved.
Right.
And one of their biggest players, who's most deserving of those showers, is not 21. So USA Today, they actually sent a whole team to the clubhouse to ask the other players what they should do to celebrate Churio instead. And first, I just want to put out there, Wisconsin, being the beer guzzling state that we are, we have some wacky alcohol laws. So as long as Churio's parents are present in the clubhouse, he's able to drink legally.
Yes.
So I want to point that out. And They actually are here in the U.S. He was living with them up until 2 months ago, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Churio and his $88 million contract was still living with mom and dad. But here are some of the funny answers of they went around the clubhouse and asked what they should do instead. Adamus said that we should just get some apple juice and we'll have a champagne shower. He's going to get an apple juice shower. He added, we can't get him into trouble. We need him, which is
That's you know what? That's actually a good point. And I know that it's probably meant in jest, but you seriously, you would think how awful that would be if there were to be some kind of an incident with disciplinary action required. So yeah, it's funny, but it's also smart.
Yeah. Contreras wanted to go even safer. He just said, we're going to stick with water, lots and lots of water. And then Peralta came up with a genius idea. He said, we're going to get some non-alcoholic beers and spray them. You know, those O'Doul's, they'll be perfect. We've got to do something because he's meant way too much to this team. So I thought that was funny. And then Eric Haas, he's a rule breaker. He's ready to live on the edge. He said he doesn't think anyone's going to be enforcing any rules. He's been a huge part of this team. He should be able to do anything he wants. But
well,
so that's law enforcement. Because it
doesn't
turns out
he just sounds like a Wisconsin kid who had a side road party with a crate of, Boone's Farm Country Quencher or something like that. And that, you know, there are no rules, you know, out in the field.
Well, my parents always tell me a funny story because they went to the University of Illinois where they're during their time in college, you know, it's in the split towns of Champaign and Urbana. Mm-hmm. The drinking age in Urbana was 18, but it was 21 in Champaign.
I don't want to go too far on a tangent on drinking ages here, though. I mean, Sherry and I have always contended. I mean, so many marriages did not happen after they raised the drinking age because we met, you know, in a bar at age 18 and might not have, you know, met each other otherwise. And I've often said that while it worked for me, there are still people in high school at age 18. And so I was okay with 19. I will admit, have an issue with 21, but you know, it is what the law is and it's got to be followed. So I will respect that.
Yes. I said I was going to come with a bunch of Brewers good news. We can't talk Brewers without talking Pat Murphy. He's really like the heartbeat of the team. Mm-hmm. He's the shoe-in favorite to win manager of the year. But he did a really interesting, thoughtful interview because a lot of times he's not very serious in a good way. That's why we love him. You know him. He's always making jokes. Yep. But they were trying to dig down and really get to the core of like what makes this team different. And he pointed out something that is very true of any of the most successful players or teams the Brewers have had over the last couple of decades. He says it comes down to the type of guys that they get in their system. They're looking for guys who have an all hands on deck philosophy. So they're willing to do anything. The most recent example of this was last week. Colin Ray, starter, came out of the bullpen when Devin Williams was unavailable. Now he's out of the starting rotation for a little bit, and they're actually toying with the idea of making him, you know, a bullpen staple for this postseason, hopefully long run. But, you know, I don't know. Obviously, I've never played baseball, but I would imagine, you know, starters tend to get more of the glory rather than someone who just comes in for an inning or two as a reliever if they're not the closer. So, well,
right. It, you know, middle relievers are kind of unsung heroes that way. But if you look at fairly recent World Series champions, it is those teams that have kind of played with their pitching lineup and have figured out who can go into the bullpen when. I mean, we're not talking like Game 7. Game 7, everybody's in the bullpen, of course. But the bullpen moves that you make right now, while it might step on some egos here and there, makes a huge difference. And Colin Ray really has been a difference maker since they made that move.
And speaking of that, I mean, the bullpen and just the whole pitching rotation has been obviously a giant conversation this season since they have had gone through so many pitchers. That last count that I saw, they were up to 18 different pitchers this season that they funneled through. But despite all of that, the Brewers relievers this season have a combined 3.18 ERA as of last week. Second best in the majors, only trailing the Guardians, which is pretty incredible. And another name who was not really on anyone's, like the top of anyone's list at the beginning of this season, made MLB.com's story 12 under the radar relievers who could dominate October. Did you see this? Any guesses?
No. Who it is? No, not at all.
It is Aaron Ashby. The writer started off saying, you know, maybe this should be Trevor McGill, though we predicted that he would be great, or breakout lefty Brian Hudson, who actually is back in AAA now. No one has even noticed how good Joe Ross has been since moving to the bullpen.
Yeah.
But they gave a shout out to Aaron Ashby, who he has been out for a long time. He had to have shoulder surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually pitching awful in the minors. When they brought him up, he had an 8.36 ERA. Now, in seven games, 13.1 innings, he's held batters to a 0.160 batting average and had 16 strikeouts, only two walks. And his fastball is super fast. Once again, 97 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's another example of a player you didn't peg as being great.
No. Because again, all the attention went to, somebody like Churio, who again, spent all this time chasing a 2020 season, which is amazing. Now, granted, everybody else is watching Shohei Ohtani, chasing a 50-50 season, which again is like superhuman. But still, these 2020 accomplishments and the things that you with Yelich being injured and everything else, it is just such a story of overcoming everything that's thrown at them.
Quick sidebar, since you mentioned Shohei, he is my birthday buddy. We were born on the exact same day of the exact same year. And I've never felt more mediocre.
Well, yeah. See, now that's me with a few people. Every day we go through the birthday segment, and as people are right close to my birthday, I'm like, I'm not making Tom Cruise money, to put it in the words of one of my birthday boys.
So. I know. I was going to say, I'll be thinking of Shohei on our 40th birthday and our 50th birthday when he's still raking in those big Dodgers paychecks.
And again, not to keep it all on Churio, but you mentioned Robin Yount, and we just marked, 50 years since his rookie season, which, it just blows some people away. I'm trying to think of like 50 years from now, if things keep going the way they are, you're going to have those same kinds of celebrations for Churio. And it's really weird to think of him as a 70-year-old man. But last week when Robin Yount turned 69, that was a real weird moment for a lot of us. It just, it reminds us that our boyhood heroes are around us all the time. And we all go down that road together.
It is. And then just of names that, people pegged as being great at the start of the season, obviously you can't talk about the Brewers without mentioning Christian Yelich. Mm-hmm. And, it has to be really bittersweet for him to not be on the field as part of these efforts. But I don't know if you heard the game, not this last weekend, but the one before that.
When he was in the booth?
He joined them in the booth. And I thought he was incredible.
He was great. He really was. And that was all the buzz afterwards. And so I would expect more of that. I think, I don't doubt that he's going to work his heart out to get back on the field. But sometimes you see something and you go, all right, well, I see what the next stop's going to be whenever that next stop comes.
And it's really interesting the kind of players in every sport that end up thriving in the booth, because it's not who you'd expect. I mean, when I think of the White Sox players who have done well, one of the best recently actually was Scott Pesednik, who played a couple seasons with the Brewers. He was, he's not a Hall of Fame baseball player, but he was really good in the booth. Frank Thomas, he's not as good with the play-by-play. He's good with the post-game analysis. But, if you were putting the two against each other, asking fans who you'd like to hear more of, you wouldn't expect them to say Scott Pesednik or AJ. AJ made headlines earlier this year. Did you see I forget if we already talked about this.
No, we didn't.
Okay. For the Brewers hot dog race, because he works for the sausage race. So he works for Fox Sports. And one of the games that he was actually at AmFam Field for, they had a guest sausage runner. And guess who? It was AJ. Of course, he asked to be the Polish, because he is Polish, Brzezinski. And it was the best part. When they were rounding, they're usually staying well south of home plate when they're going around. But AJ, seeing he was losing and being the competitive guy that he was, he made a beeline and decided to cross and cut corners.
Of course
he did. Off across home plate. And he almost just ran over Rhys Hoskins. Rhys was not expecting someone to come on his territory.
Well, no.
And he after the game, it was funny. They brought Hoskins into the booth, and the two were hashing it out.
I would hope. I mean, again, it's all fun and games until somebody with a multi-million dollar contract gets hurt, right?
Absolutely. Hoskins actually was another unexpected bright spot.
Yes.
Player who we could have thought was past his prime has really showed up. It's fun because night after night, you never know who the hero of the game is going to be.
Correct. And the nice thing about the postseason too is folks around the country, for however long the Brewers are in this, are going to get a little more exposure to Yuke. And I mean, look at how much he was celebrated after that feature about him was done for during the All-Star game. And now he gets to, you know, call playoff games at the age of 90. It's a wonderful thing. I'm very happy for him and all the people who will again be reminded about, you know, what makes Mr. Baseball so great.
And this is a great time if anyone's looking for some fall reading to pick up his autobiography, The Catcher in the Rye. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best sports books you will ever read.
Yes, very much so. And you will never go wrong if you get on YouTube and look at some of his appearances with Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show dating back to 1969 and making 100 different appearances. And they were all gold.
Yeah, what's funny, my grandpa loves Johnny Carson, and he told me the other day he recently discovered YouTube TV and that he can, like, you know, hook it up and watch whatever he wants. And he goes, Christina, you'll never believe it. There's like 10 whole episodes of Johnny Carson on here that I can't. And I was like, Grandpa, I think there might be 10,000 episodes of Johnny Carson you might be able to watch.
Very, very much so.
He's just referring to the little bar that was on the side. That's all he saw. Oh, and he was already in heaven. So
he's going to love it.
He's hooked up.
Absolutely. Christina Lorre, nice to visit with you. Thanks again. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
Time for today's history lesson. It was on this day in 1999 that Sting released his sixth solo album, Brand New Day. On this day in 1789, Congress passed the Judiciary Act, creating the Office of Attorney General and the federal judiciary system and ordering the composition of the Supreme Court. You know, back in those days of old when we imagined that the judiciary would be independent of undue influence. Weren't those good times? Let's see. Bobby McFerrin had the number one hit this day in 1988. All right, Greg. Where is Don't Worry, Be Happy? Is it in the... That still makes me feel light and uplifting, or is it in the Macarena category of... Oh, it's that song again.
The Macarena.
Okay.
No,
don't worry.
No, for me, it's... This song makes me happy. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was played a lot back in the day, so maybe... Yeah.
A lot. But, you know, we needed happy music back then.
Yeah.
It did make history as the first a cappella song to hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
Nice. I like it.
All right. This is working. That's good. The number one song this day in 1966 was by The Association.
And folks, if you could see the album cover with them on it,
yes.
They literally look like the Accounting Association.
Yes. The Association of Ernst & Young.
Yeah, right.
Such nice young men. Hitting the top of the charts with Cherish this week in 1966. All right, let's jump ahead to 1979. When the Eagles released their sixth album, The Long Run, the lead single was a song that was co-written by Bob Seger. Somebody's gonna... Just that part right there. I did not know until I was doing the research on this, that this was co-written by Bob. I'm hearing this now going, yeah, this is a Bob Seger song. All right, let's move ahead a couple of years to 1983, and Billy Joel had a number one hit inspired by his future wife, which I guess also made her future ex-wife, Christy Brinkley. It's a very short day on the national day calendar today. It's so funny. Some days there's like so many things. Mm-hmm. And today there's really just two of note. Today is Cherry's Jubilee Day. You ever have Cherry's Jubilee where they use the brandy and they set it on fire briefly?
I've never had that, no.
Had it once at a fancy restaurant. We were in our like late 20s and we were trying so hard to feel grown up. And I mean, it was amazing. It was so delicious. But we made a pact right there that we were not going to try to recreate this. That fire in our kitchen was probably not a good idea.
Good move.
And it's National Punctuation Day, which sounds non-controversial until I tell you that I am on Team Oxford Comma. And now watch, other people are losing their minds right now that you don't need that last comma in a list. I just point to the t-shirts and the posters that make clear that the importance of punctuation and commas, the difference between let's eat, comma, grandma, versus let's eat grandma with no punctuation.
But I thought that's not an Oxford comma.
That's not. I'm just saying punctuation itself is important.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course. Yes, of course. But you don't need that last comma. It's pointless. It's not necessary. It's a waste of a comma.
It is... It is unnecessary until it is.
There
are examples of where it's like, oh yeah, that's where the Oxford comma would really help.
Turning Billy Joel back up.
Here's one. I like oatmeal, comma, eggs, comma, and fruit salad for breakfast. Without that, you get I like oatmeal, eggs, and fruit salad for breakfast.
No, I get the need for commas. Like,
yeah.
But people will say that you need I like eggs, comma, oatmeal, comma, and fruit salad.
Right. That's what I just said.
You don't
if
need
you didn't
that
have that comma there,
that
you'd have an egg and fruit salad.
No, you're all wrong. Yeah. You're all wrong. I'm turning Billy Joel back up. You're all wrong. Just use common sense.
Here, turn on Nirvana instead. Their breakthrough album, Nevermind, was released this day in 1991. On that same day, also released, was the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Blood Sugar Sex Magic, containing Give It Away, and this single for an album that would sell 10 million copies worldwide. That, of course, would be Under the Bridge. Let's see, on this day in 1996, That Thing You Do, the title track to the musical film, directed by and starring Tom Hanks, was released. Maybe play a snippet of that later. The iconic London double-decker bus, the AEC Routemaster, was introduced this day in 1954. And finally, Jerry Marsden, frontman and namesake of Jerry and the Pacemakers, was born this day in 1942. Your heart may be broken tonight, but tomorrow in the morning. And one more quick one for you. Jim Henson, we mentioned earlier, born this day in 1936. He actually charted with Rainbow Connection.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.